Good morning, friends, and welcome once again to Highland Park United Methodist Church. We're glad that you're here this morning. Let me ask you a question. When people ask you how you're doing right now, how do you respond? What's your response when people say, how are you doing? I have a go-to response. If you ask me this, you're probably going to get this response, okay? I like it because it's succinct and it's true, okay? This is what I tell people. Macro level, everything's great. Nothing to complain about. Big picture, we are good. Micro level, things are pretty tough. Okay. Micro level, we got stuff going on with the kids is difficult. Being social distanced from people is difficult. Micro level, there's a lot of stuff that feels like it's adding up. If there's anything that seems to be kind of in the air over the last couple of weeks as it relates to this pandemic, it seems to be this. There's a lot of weariness. And I think what it is that for a lot of us, the micro stuff, the little things, they're beginning more and more to add up. And some of you have big stuff on top of that. I mean, some of you have been affected health-wise, or your loved ones have. Some of you have been affected with your job. Some of you have major things going on, but you also have these small things. But the small things just get piled one on top of the other, and I think that a lot of us are growing weary. So here's what I want to do this morning, okay? I want to frame this up for us. The first thing that I want to do is frame it up and help us to understand one of the reasons why this is so wearying, why this is beginning to feel more and more cumbersome, more and more tiring, okay? I want to frame it up for us. I then want to get super practical, really practical, and talk about a few things that we can do to have our eyes on to help us to be some of those people that are navigating this well. And if you're here this morning and you have questions about all this God stuff, the Jesus stuff, all of these things, look, a lot of this practical stuff, you don't have to believe any of the stuff that we believe, and this stuff is still going to be helpful to you. And then we're going to round it all out with something that you do have to believe in Jesus to get your heart and your mind fully wrapped around. And we're going to wrap up with that. It's something that I hope will be encouraging to all of us who are weary this morning. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to dive headfirst in. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. We know that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, are with us and that you are guiding us, and we pray that you continue to lead us every day of our lives. And specifically, Lord, we ask that you guide us during this time looking at some scripture together. Lord, you know that I've prepared some words, but I pray that you bring them to life in this moment. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, they'll be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's a buzzword that's out there. You've probably heard it, especially in kind of the business community. There's this buzzword that's out there. It's the buzzword disruption. Have you ever heard people talk about this? Disruption, disrupting the market, all of these things. And when business types talk about disruption, they could be talking about a couple of different things. There are some companies, some organizations that want to cause disruption. They want to cause disruption to shake the market up so that they can find a niche or to grow their niche within that market. And then there are other companies, other organizations that are reacting to that disruption. And they're trying to be nimble enough to be able to pivot, to be able to withstand the disruption in the market. I don't know, is there a better word to describe how many of us are feeling than disrupted? I mean, it just feels like all of our lives have experienced a high degree of disruption. And early on, it was hard, but early on, we were using the metaphor of this being a blizzard. Remember that? It's like we'd hunker down for 5 or 6 weeks and we'd make it out, and then on the other side of it, we'd be back to business as usual. But the blizzard metaphor is fading, or else it's the longest blizzard in history, right? And the weariness is weighing heavy on us as this metaphorical blizzard lingers. I mean, think about everything in your life that's been disrupted. Now, we could be here all morning just giving a laundry list. But let's just think about a few things, some of these big things. I mean, it's not just things that are inconvenient to us, But some of the core essentials of what it means to be human have been disrupted. The way that you get food is different than it was 4 months ago. Core essential to what it means to be human. The way that you interact with people has been disrupted. Think about this. From the day that you were born, the way that you have been taught to engage and interact with other people is through touch and through being able to see people's faces. The day that you were born, people drew close to you and you grew up interacting with people through handshakes and hugs, close proximity and seeing people's faces, and all of that has been disrupted over the last 3 or 4 months. The way that you make a living or the way that you get your education, core essentials to who we are as human beings has been disrupted. Is it any surprise that we're exhausted? Is it any surprise that we feel weary? I remember when I got my first full-time job out of college, and a week or two in, I was exhausted. And somebody told me, kind of pulled me aside and said, look, I said, you just got to make it through these first few weeks. Starting a new job is always exhausting. He said, think about everything your brain has to do. You have to think about where to walk to go to the break room. You have to think about where to walk to go to the bathroom. You have to think about what drawer your pens are in. All of these things will become habit, will become routine soon, and your brain won't have to think about them. But right now you're exhausted because you have to think about everything. Think about everything that you now have to think about that you didn't have to think about 4 months ago. We're tired and we're weary. How do we become or continue to be men and women, teenagers and children, that navigate this disruption well? Because let's be clear, we're all being disrupted in the same ways, but we're navigating it differently. For some people, this disruption is pushing us down, and we're like wheels getting stuck in the mud. That's where some of us are. For some of us, the disruption is pushing us down, and some people are navigating the disruption pretty well. How do we be people that navigate this well? You know, what we're doing as a church right now is we're reading through Acts together. We're almost through it. And I was texting with a buddy the other day, and he said, you know what Acts is all about? He said, Acts is all about the world and the people living in the world being disrupted. That's what it's all about. So what I want to show you this morning is two stories, one from Acts, one from earlier than that, about a disruption that happens in people's lives and how they navigate that. And I'm telling you, when you see how they navigate it, I promise you, it's going to be helpful to you as you seek to navigate it also. So you can turn with me in the Bible if you'd like to, or you can just kind of follow along. We'll have the words on the screen. I'm going to bounce around a little bit rather than walking through one specific passage. But the beginning, where I want to start is right there in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Do you know, you can show how smart you are to the person next to you if you know this. Do you know what the first commandment God gives to people is? The first commandment that God gives to people. The first commandment that he gives is he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. That's the first commandment. So make more of yourselves, make more human beings, fill the earth, and then rule over, care for the earth. That's the first commandment. It does not take human beings very long to not do a very good job with that commandment, okay? You fast forward 10 chapters and look at what's happening. This is the beginning of Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they settled there. So all the human beings are together. I picture like a herd of caribou going through Canada, right? They're all together going across the plain, and they find this one particular spot. They talk about a few things, and then we get down to verse 1, and they say, come, let us build for ourselves a city here and a tower with its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they say, look, this looks like a good spot. Let's all stop here and let's all settle in this one particular area. And not only in this one particular area, but let's find one little spot in this one particular area, build a tower there, and all live in this one tiny little spot. Because if we don't do that, lest we do what God asked us to do. I mean, the commandment is to go out and to spread out, and they do the antithesis. They settle in one tiny little spot. And then you may know the story of the Tower of Babel. What happens? God comes, stops the building, gives them different languages, and in verse 8, the Lord dispersed them over all of the face of the earth. Let me give you kind of a visual of what's happening here. Okay, this is the earth. Okay, this is also what I serve fajitas on. Okay, but this is the earth. Okay, and in this little box here are the people of the earth. I took this from my boys' room after they went to bed last night, so I hope they're not looking for it this morning. Okay, all right. So you got all these people, and their purpose is to spread out and to fill the earth. That's what the goal is. God says, look, the number one commandment, the first thing, you're going to get out there, you're going to make more of yourself, and you're going to spread out, and you're going to fill the whole earth. And they say, okay, that's a pretty good idea, but we've got a better one. Actually, what we're going to do is we're all going to travel together, and we're going to build a tower, and we're all going to live right here in this one little spot. Lex Luthor's living there. Whoever this redheaded lady is living there. Harry Potter's living there. Aquaman, this one-legged wizard. And that's an alien. That doesn't really work. We got to put him down there. Okay. And all these people, we're going to live in one spot. And they think this is a good idea. And they're like, this is just the way that we're going to do this. This sets up the whole tension between humans and God that lasts at least through today, where we think we know better, right? But then what does God do? God comes, and he disrupts this whole thing. And he takes that tower, and he shakes it, and he shatters it. And when he does, what happens? The people all come out of the tower, reluctantly, and they're dispersed. You see, God knew that they didn't get there on their own, that following what he had commanded them to do. But through a little bit of disruption, he got them there. Okay, let's fast forward in the Bible just a little bit. Let's go all the way to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, you get the last commandment that Jesus gives. So we just talked about the first commandment that God gives. Now here's the last commandment that Jesus gives. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and where? To the ends of the earth. Do you see how there's a parallel here? Okay, do you see this? He says, look, just like at the beginning, all the humans need to spread out and fill the earth physically. Now, those of you who will have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I want you to fill the earth spiritually. Now, these early Christians, they don't overtly do the opposite of what Jesus is telling them to do, the way that the early humans did, but watch this. Watch what happens. And see if there's a pattern here, that maybe a pattern that carries through to today. Acts 6:7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. At this point, there are more than 5,000 people who believe in Jesus in a short period of time that are all gathered together. But look, this is great, except what? Look at this. All this was happening in one place, in Jerusalem. Well, what about Judea and Samaria? And what about the ends of the earth? Hey, do you see this? It's the same thing. Jesus says, go out all over the place, and they stay in one city. And it's a great city. But they stay in one city. And then guess what happens? Right after that verse, trouble breaks out. A man named Stephen, a follower of Jesus, is stoned. He's killed. And then mass persecution breaks out. And in Acts 8:1, there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all dispersed or scattered throughout the regions of, guess where? Judea and Samaria. Do you see this, friends? The goal all along was for them to spread out all over the place. They stay in one place, and then there's a disruption, and what happens? They do what they were supposed to do all along. There's something about disruption that can get you bogged down where you are, or if you pay attention to how God might be working through the disruption, it might not get you stuck. It might be the very thing that gets you back on track. Okay, let's back up just a second. Let's think not about individuals for just a moment, not about you as an individual. Let's think about organizations. Let's think about companies that are being disrupted. You know, the organizations that are going to do the best during this time, at least it seems to me, and it seems to a lot of people that are researching this, are not the ones who say, look, we just need to sell as much as we can in this quarter. It's not going to be the ones that say, we have a great model, we just need to make our model even better. It's going to be the ones that go back to the basics of who they are and what they do and get reoriented with their purpose. And once they get reoriented with their purpose, then get creative about what to do. You know, we as a church, we're not a business, but we are an organization of people trying to accomplish a purpose. And I'll tell you, being a part of a large church that has been around for 104 years, it's not always easy to redirect. But the staff members that we have that are doing the best during this pandemic, do you know what they're doing? They're going back to the basics. And they're saying, why did I get in ministry to start with? And why is this church doing ministry to begin with? And they're getting reoriented with that. And then they're getting creative about how to actually do ministry. You see, what happens to the early humans, what happens to the early Christians, what's happening to the best organizations right now, and what I'm seeing happen with the best of our staff members right now, is that the first thing that the disruption is doing is it's pushing them backwards and reminding them about what the purpose for the whole thing is anyway. It's giving them clarity of purpose. And then they're finding creativity in execution. They're going back to their purpose and then getting creative about how to move into the future. So let me just ask you, as your life is being disrupted, if you're stuck and the disruption is just pushing you down, is it that perhaps God is calling you to look back at what the purpose of your life is to begin with, getting you rerooted in the basics, in the fundamentals, to prepare you to go into the future? I'm watching some of my friends do this when it comes to their friend groups. I mean, maybe you're experiencing this. Amy and I have had two conversations with two different couples that this disruption has caused them to rethink many of their friendships. They're saying, hey, look, here's the deal. I'm remembering that what friendship is about is that we should leave time with our friends feeling encouraged and enlivened. We should be sharpening each other. These should be mutual relationships where we're pouring into one another. And if I'm going to take the time to invest in these kinds of relationships, then they need to be making me better. I've had two groups of friends, two couples. One of them said, we got to get rid of our whole friend group. We need to start over. And I've had another couple that said, we have lots of friends, but we're really feeling led to invest more deeply in fewer people. They're being reminded of the purpose of these relationships, and it's causing them to move forward differently. Some of us are doing this when it comes to parenting. We're being reminded through long, hard days that we didn't become parents because we thought that it would be good for us, but we became parents because we wanted to bless these kids and raise them up to be good men and women. We're reminded that parenting should not be about me, but it's about the kids. And as we get re-rooted in that, it drives us to parent differently moving forward. And what about your faith? I mean, really, it feels weird to me to even have a separate category of faith. I mean, the reality is that it's like the category that everything else is built around. But what about your faith? How is this disruption in your lives driving you back to the basics, to the fundamentals? You know, there are a lot of ways that we could articulate what those basics are, what those fundamentals are. But I just want to highlight for you two verses that maybe this disruption is driving you back towards. Something that most of you have heard before, or maybe you're going to hear it for the first time. But something that gets lost in the midst of all of our busyness. Just two verses. Out of Matthew 11, this is Jesus speaking. In your weariness, in your stuckness, in your tiredness. Maybe you're being driven back to these words. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, which is just a first century way of talking about his teaching. Take my teaching, my yoke upon you, and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's been disrupted is a world that is so busy and so fast that so often we find it hard to find even just a few minutes a day to allow Jesus to give us rest. What's been disrupted is a world that has told you nearly every day of your life that the way to achieve things is that you gotta work hard and you gotta earn it. What's been disrupted is a world that has told you that the only way to be good enough is to work hard and to make yourself good enough. And in this disruption of that world, maybe what God is driving you towards is a voice that says to you, it's never been about what you do. It's about what Jesus has done for you. It's not about being good enough. It's about being loved enough by Him. It's not about who you are. It's about who He is. It may be that this world and this disruption of this world is pushing you towards Jesus in a new way for the first time or the first time in a long time. Maybe it's time to not worry so much about going forward, but to take a moment and go back, to be still, and to reflect on those words, to thank Him, and to ask Him to lead you. Because if you get rooted in that, you will be the kind of man, woman, teenager, or kid who is ready to go forward. Next week, we're going to talk more in detail about how to go forward. But we're not going to get anywhere with that if we don't first get rooted in this promise that he will give us rest. But just notice this, and this will prep you for next week. Notice this. He doesn't say, you're just going to be walking around doing whatever it is that you do during your day, and I will break into your life and give you rest. He doesn't say that. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. He doesn't say, just live your life however you want to, do whatever it is that you want to do. You be the king of your life. You know what's best for you, and I'm going to break in the midst of that and give you rest. He doesn't say that. He says, learn from me. Take up my teaching, and I'll give you rest. This week, let's take some time to get rerooted in him. And next week, we're going to talk about how we can be men, women, teenagers, and children who go forward, going towards Jesus and learning from him and being the kind of people who navigate this time of disruption well. Because there's a lot that we don't have control over in this world. But what we do have control over is how we respond. And every one of us in this community that responds by turning back to Jesus and moving forward in the love of Jesus, every one of us that does that will make the world a little bit better place. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that in the midst of this disruption that you're working, in the midst of all the ways that our lives have been shaken up, that you are here. Use it all to drive us towards you in humility, recognizing once again or for the first time that it's not about us, it's about you. Help us to find rest in the midst of our weariness through our relationship with you, through your Son Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.